welcome to another episode of the Danger Cast, where we talk about the culture and design of Gangplank. I'm Jade Mesko.
I'm Roy Vanawater.
I'm Clayton Lengel-Zigic.
I'm Derek Neighbors.
So we're continuing our series in talking about the Gangplank Manifesto. We are up to boldness over assurance.
I don't know if I feel comfortable talking about this.
Let me assure you, Derek, it will be okay.
I'm only participating because you said this would be good.
Is it all right if I participate in this podcast?
All right, so we're demonstrating how assurance might work.
Got all the jokes out.
So, Derek, do you remember why this came up?
Man, I'm kind of racking my brain on this, and I'm not remembering an exact example or an exact reason why this came up, but I think it was more that people had scary ideas a lot, but they wouldn't really act on them. And I think part of what Gangplank started to do was be like the teenage catalyst that, like, hey, it'd be really cool if we lit a can of hairspray on fire. And you know, normally you'd say, no, I wouldn't do that, that's dangerous. But instead, Gangplank became the place like, yeah, you should totally light that on fire. Yeah, you should throw it, you know, and kind of escalate that conversation up. You know what would be cool is if you threw the whole propane tank on the fire. That's what would be awesome.
And then we made it a kids' event.
And so I think this is kind of the one that embodies the kind of whole be dangerous spirit, right? Which is, you know, it's the thing that says when you have something in your gut that you like totally know, man, this if I could do this, this would be a really big deal and this would make a really impact. And then your lizard brain talks you out of it and tells you that like you shouldn't do it, or you know, that you're not good enough to do it, that sort of thing. What we tend to do is we tend to go around and try to get assurance from other people that it's going to be okay. And not until we have enough of that currency of assurance do we actually execute. This is saying like, just go out and execute it. And if it's the right thing, it'll be awesome. And if not, like, that's okay. People will support you in it. So it doesn't mean like be bold from like a jerk perspective, but it means like when you know you should be doing something, do it. Don't kind of, you know, be passive in doing it.
Just like be dangerous doesn't mean jump off a cliff without a parachute, right? It's about taking risk. I remember that we were having a lot of trouble with getting people to even show up.
Yeah.
That there was this weird resistance to needing to be prompted a whole bunch of times or told by a whole bunch of people to even walk in the door at Gangplank. And I think that also informed this this virtue that we put out here, is that, you know, you should just be able to take the leap and just walk in. Don't worry about it being scary. It probably is scary, and that's okay, but just do it. Just get out there and try it.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's almost one of those things where, like, if Gangplank costs money, it would be easier because then you're buying assurance.
We've had a lot of people tell us that. Like, if I could make some sort of transaction, it eases that tension.
Right.
So I actually think that now you kind of sparked my memory a little bit. I think a lot of where this came in is we got so many complaints when we moved to Gangplank 2.0. So Gangplank 1.0, you had to kind of come in. There was a secretary downstairs for another business. So when you came in, you're like, is this Gangplank? They would say, oh, no, they're upstairs. And then you'd kind of come upstairs. And when you opened upstairs, there were some desks right at the front of the stairs that you could kind of say, like, am I in the right place? And you could kind of get assured twice before you engaged. We moved into the new building. You walked into a lobby, and there was no desk in the lobby. There was no receptionist in the lobby. There was nothing in the lobby. And when you walked kind of through the lobby, you were still in this wide open space where there were no desks that were – it was obvious what the primary desk was. And so we would get complaint after complaint. You know what? You should really put a desk up front so that people know who to talk to before they come in. And it was a pattern that kept repeating. And continually, people that were in the space all the time were like, that's dumb. Like, just come in and talk to people. Like, why do you need – and what we kept hearing was, well, because some people, they need to understand and they need a way to interact. And we started to really talk about, you know what? If that's the type of person you are, Gangplank's probably not right for you. And I think that kind of translated into the boldness over assurance, right? So if you need to come in and you need to be coddled, right, that's probably a deficiency in interacting with Gangplank culture that is going to hurt you long term.
And hurt Gangplank if it's filled with people like that.
And hurt you and hurt Gangplank. Where if you kind of come in and you say like, hey, I'm going to have the confidence to walk in and own it and deal with it and do it, you probably are embodying that boldness of like, yeah, I'm scared crapless. I don't know anybody here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm really scared, but I'm just going to put a smile on and act like doesn't bother me. And it works out.
You know, it's funny. I still feel that way sometimes. Because I was away for a while and I came back and I didn't know most of the people that were here. And so I went from knowing everybody to knowing just a few people. And, you know, definitely had to re-kick in those values, right? Like, oh, that's okay. I'll just go talk to them because they're here and they're, you know, they're part of Gangplank too. So it'll probably just work.
Right. If they didn't want to be talked to, they probably would have stayed home.
Right. Or gone somewhere else.
Right.
And I mean, and then I think that's translated into everything from relationships to municipalities to relationships to third parties to starting new initiatives to, you know, you name it. I mean, I think that's one of the things in kind of community building that's difficult, right? If you're going to try new ideas that are truly new, you're never going to get assurance. In fact, you're going to get the opposite of assurance. You're going to get people telling you, that's not possible. You can't do that. That seems scary.
Yeah, nobody's ever tried this before.
Right. And so if you don't have boldness in what you're doing, right, you're never going to make it. And I think we tell people all the time, one of the ways you know you're doing good work is when people are getting mad at you. Because when you challenge the status quo and you put it in people's face that you're making a dent in the universe, they will attack the shit out of you. And if you're not bold in doing that, what do you think is going to happen when you start to get attacked? You're going to fold like a $2 Walmart chair on, you know, with a 400-pound fat lady sitting in it when they come after you. So you've got to have some boldness to own it.
Right. Just like that analogy, that was pretty bold.
I feel like Walmart chairs would be made for 400-pound fat ladies.
Or 400-pound fat dudes. Right. That's
yeah,
fat,
don't
right?
discriminate.
Like, non-discriminatory.
And I can say that as a fat kid. So,
I think another dimension to this is we have a lot of people who are entrepreneurs who are, you know, starting their business, trying to make it work, trying to grow. You know, they're at different phases of their organizational life. And you know, boldness is certainly required in that area. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for assurance, starting your own business is no way to get it.
Right. Could you imagine being like the boss of your own company? Like who are you going to ask for permission?
Right.
Well, I know that there's been a lot of people that I've talked to that I know based on their personality and the things they enjoy would be good fits for Gangplank. Like they're very creative or they have this streak in them, whatever. And I see them a lot, especially like on social media, right? They'll be talking about how like they're upset about work and they're upset about this and they don't have enough, whatever. And they'll tell them, hey, you should go to Gangplank, right? And it's amazing, you know, they can talk such a big game about all the stuff that they want to do, and they talk the game of like the status quo basher and the be dangerous stuff. And then when push comes to shove, it's kind of like the litany of excuses come out. Like it's too far, I don't have the time, who's going to do this, and blah, blah, blah. So I always think that's interesting that it's very easy to sound like especially bold, but then the actual practice of being bold, that's the part that's, you know, impossible for some people.
Well, that's, like, they especially have no excuse, right? Because they even got a person on the inside that can like for them,
it's giving them assurance.
Right. They should be able
to.
Right.
No, I worked with someone once, and it was actually right after I left to come work for Integrum. And he was still at the old company, and he hated it even more, you know. And I told him, hey, you got to come to Gangplank. Like, you're a designer. Like, there's all these people you could talk to. And he showed up, and we talked for 5 minutes. And I said, like, yeah, you know, there's this over here. I did my best to kind of say, like, make him feel welcome. And I think he sat on the couch for 10 minutes, and then he left. Right?
Yep. Yeah, we've received numerous angry emails about how I showed up here, and I sat down at a desk, and nobody said a word to me, and how dare you guys run an operation like this?
I think my favorite email exchange on something like that, and it kind of relates a little bit to this, is I had made some comments about downtown Phoenix and the state of downtown Phoenix. It upset some folks, and somebody drove all the way from downtown Phoenix, came right up to the door of Gangplank, and they took pictures of the outside of Gangplank and took pictures of the sign at Gangplank. Then they drove all the way back to Phoenix and they wrote like this blog about how horrible Gangplank was and a bunch of things about the people inside of Gangplank. And it was hilarious to have almost everybody at Gangplank call them out and say, did you really just drive 20 miles to come take a picture on the outside and not come in and talk to anybody and then say how horrible we are? And the person, you know, they're human. And, you know, their response back was, well, I came because I wanted to talk about it, but then I kind of chickened out last minute. So then I just took a picture and turned around and left. Right. But I think that's the status quo. Right. Like, and I think that's what we were talking about when, you know, we were kind of not only criticizing this particular thing. Right. But it's also the embodiment of that's what happens when you look for assurance. Right. And you're not bold. Right. If you're really passionate about it, why wouldn't you come in and talk about it? Right. Because you're afraid. And I think that boldness over assurance is saying, look, it's okay to be afraid, and it's okay to want to be coddled and want to have assurance. Everybody wants that when they're afraid. It's the difference between walking through that fear and doing it anyways and turning around and walking away instead of entering the door. And that to me is, in a nutshell, what boldness over assurance is. It's walking through the door even when you're scared shitless, instead of turning around and going away and making some excuse why you can't walk through.
And it's not just about walking through the door either. It's about everything that you do inside of the space and everything Absolutely. You end up doing in life.
Well, sure, but that's the great thing about boldness is it's really easy to continue being bold, right? The hardest part is doing that first part where you just open the door and walk in, right? And that's obviously a metaphor, right? It's not just about coming into a mm-hmm. gangplank, but it's just taking that first step down whatever trail you've started. Continuing that momentum gets easier and easier and easier. And I think that'd be my advice to someone who maybe is struggling with not having boldness in their life is just something scary that comes up that you think like, I don't think I can do this. Just do it. Right. And with practice, you're going to get so much better and be able to not worry so much about needing that assurance.
Yeah. I found that I'm really good at building up in my mind all of this stuff that's going to happen, or the way interactions are going to play out and the way people are going to be and how good or smart or whatever they are. And one thing that's helped me is to try and remember, just to assume that I'm wrong. Like, I think I'm right about a lot of stuff, but I'm going to assume that I'm wrong and that everyone in Gangplank is better than me and they won't pay attention to me. And if I assume that I'm wrong, and I'll just see what happens. Right. And that's kind of the same thing. I think you're making the point, Jay, to just, if you take that first step, then you can kind of shatter all those assumptions and that whole thing you've built up in your mind breaks down. And now you're dealing with the reality of it. And it's a lot easier than you thought.
And it gets easier every single time that you are bold, because almost every single time that you're bold, you will get a successful reaction. And every once in a while, it'll fall back. It'll fail, right? And it sucks if it's the first time that you try that you fail. But the nice thing is you can show up at Gangplank, and I can assure you that walking inside, you're not going to fail if you talk to somebody.
But even if you fail, that boldness still lives on, yes. Right? You still have that success of just being bold enough to try it.
Yep.
So I guess to me, I think of this a lot like perfection, right? So I see a lot of people that don't ship their work or take forever to do something because they're waiting for it to be perfect. Like, oh, if I just do this one last thing, it will be perfect. And I think that when we look for assurance, we're doing the same thing. We're saying I'm afraid of something. And if only I could be assured of this, then I would do it. Like, I would quit my job and go do this other thing if I could be assured that I would have healthcare. Well, then if somebody says, okay, great, you've got health care. Oh, well, I would also need to be assured of this, right? And you can continue to just say, if only I were assured. When you walk and you move into boldness, what happens is you're not any less afraid, right? Like, you know, if I'm afraid of public speaking and getting up on a stage and talking about it, I'm just as afraid every single time. The difference is by acting in boldness, I start to believe that, okay, I'm just as afraid, but I am able to reassure my own self much quicker because I've got more boldness than I have kind of weakness. And I think that that's one of the things people think of is like, oh, if I only get to this level, I'll stop being afraid. And the reality is the best people in the world are still afraid at some level. I guarantee you there's major league pitchers that go out to the pitching mound and they're still afraid. The difference is they just walk through it. They have the ability to say, like, I'm just going to walk through it.
So I think that wraps up our discussion on boldness over assurance. Be sure to catch us next time on the DangerCast. Thanks.
It's Gangplank, they're a creative bunch. Come and bring your laptop and drink the fruit punch. RR with some rum.